If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
And here I am. You know, I went from having zero units and, you know, reading Rich Dad Poor Dad to in 2 weeks, we are closing on 144 units, and that'll be zero to 190 units in just about 13 months.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Tim is currently a lieutenant in the New York City Fire Department. Until recently, he also worked part-time as an emergency room RN at a level one trauma center. Tim's initial goal with real estate was to create passive income and in turn, be able to spend more time with his wife and three girls. After partnering on a multifamily property, he saw firsthand the power of real estate investing as an opportunity to create passive income and build wealth for his family. He started Cityside Capital with the goal of not only growing his own portfolio, but also help others realize the power that real estate investing can have on creating wealth. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Man, this is great. This is great. I always love interviewing people who have taken, in a very short period of time, what they've learned and then put it into practice. If you can give us the same questions I ask everybody who comes on, give us an idea of where you started, where you are now, and how you got there.
Awesome. I'm going to go as fast as I possibly can. So again, thanks for having me on the show. Happy to be here. And so really quick, I'm 38. I got three little girls, 9, 7, and 1.5. I'm married. I've been a New York City firefighter for 15 and a half years. For the last 8 or so, I worked as an ER nurse at a level one trauma center. And that was my side job. You know, a lot of the firefighters, because we work 24-hour shifts, we have plenty of time for a second career. So life was good, you know, but I ended up working 70, 80, sometimes 90 hours a week. And, you know, it started to wear my family. The older my girls got, you know, they started to ask more questions. Where are you going? How come you're never home? Daddy, we miss you. My wife felt it. I felt it. It was awful. So I'd always had an interest in real estate and finances and, you know, I read the Wall Street Journal on my phone every day. But real estate was always one of those things, Sam, that was, you know, what some people refer to as, you know, part of the destination fallacy or the arrival fallacy of, you know, one day I'm going to get into real estate. You know, one day I'm going to do this. And one day, and you know, when I'll have a pension and I'll be able to do other things. And it just wasn't good enough for me. So I really had to kind of, spend some time and thought about what I wanted and why I wanted it and how I was going to get there and kind of deconstruct that. So, you know, it really started summer of 19. I'm on the beach with my family and I'm reading Rich Dad Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. I'm sure most of your listeners have heard it. And that was a book that stayed in my firehouse bag that I brought back and forth to work for about 2 years and just took up space and I never broke it out. And anyway, I'm on my family vacation at the Outer Banks, North Carolina, and I read it in 2 days. I can't put it down and it just changed everything. And I remember leaning over and telling my wife, you know, hey, Christina, I'm going to be a real estate investor. And she's like, you know, sure you are, Tim. She still jokes around about it, you know, and but she knows, like, she knows that once I'm committed to something, I'm defiantly committed to making it happen. And that's what I did. I 4 months later, in November of 19, I bought a 3-family property and the, you know, 2 units were occupied and the third needed some work. And I put a roof on and siding and renovated the first 4 unit and we were cash flowing before we knew it. It was a ton of work. It was a great experience. I mean, you know, but it wasn't going to be scalable. So I very quickly realized that I was going to run out of capital and I wasn't going to be able to raise capital to buy 100-year-old wood frame, balloon frame houses. You know, it just wasn't going to work. So realized that a lot of the people that I looked up to in the multifamily space who were successful either had a coach or a mentorship or they spent time, you know, working for a, you know, a person who was successful in the business. So even though I had some limiting beliefs about getting started in the commercial space and multifamily by getting a coach or a mentor, you know, it took some mindset and changes and talking to a lot of people and really working on myself to say, you know, yes, that's something that I want to invest in. That's something that I think I should do. You know, talked at length with my wife about it. And then boom, I actually joined a mentorship program, got some education, met some incredible, incredible people. And it ended up being the best investment I've made so far. And here I am, you know, I went from having 0 units and, you know, reading Rich Dad Poor Dad to, in 2 weeks, we are closing on 144 units, and that'll be 0 to 190 units in just about 13 months.
That is amazing. Well done. First of all, I want to kind of rewind your story a little bit there, though. And you said, so 4 months in, you said there were some mentors or some people you were looking up to in the multifamily space. Most people don't go from, hey, I read Rich Dad Poor Dad, to even having those people to look up to. How did you find them?
Yeah, so once I read that, I mean, obviously, you know, let me back up a touch. I've read other books, you know, having to do with real estate or having to do with finances and stuff like that. You know, so I had an idea of who some of the big players were. But once I read that book and I just made that decision right then and there that I wanted to do this as well, I kind of just turned off all the distractions, social media, Pandora. You know, when I was in the car, I turned my car into the university on wheels and I did straight content, whether that was podcasts, whether that was audio, you know, audiobooks or, you know, it was just content all the time, YouTube, anything I can get my hands on. And I just, you know, went for a run, I put a podcast on. That's kind of how I figured out like who the main players were, who were the giants in the space, who did I align with, whose story did I hear and say, yes, like I'm aligned with that person's goals, values, the way they do the, you know, conduct themselves. I want to be like that person. I would reach out to them. I'd email them. You know, one person I like telling the story was a very successful operator in the space, and he left his cell phone at the end of a podcast. And I just called him. You know, I called him and I said, "Hey, I just heard your podcast, and your story resonated with me." You know, and we just started talking. And so, I mean, that's kind of how that worked. And you know, it's like everything else. Like once you start talking to people and networking with other people in this industry, you very quickly find out that there's a ton of great people, and of which a lot of people are looking to help you out. So it was, just by doing that sort of stuff, that's how I really kind of drilled down who I wanted to be surrounded by.
Right, right. No, that's key. Yeah, surrounding yourself with the right people. That's obviously sounds like that's step one for you. From that point forward, I mean, you figured out, did you buy anything else before you bought your next apartment complex? Did you buy any other assets other than that triplex?
No. So it was a triplex first. And then that was November of 19, March of 20. I joined the Jake and Gino community. You know, they always talk about building out your team, right? With commercial real estate or real estate in general. And I partnered with somebody in the Jake and Gino community on my first syndication. I was a co-GP. That was a 43 unit property in Pennsylvania that we closed on in August of 20. So it was a 3-unit, a 43-unit, and now we're looking at the closing in 2 weeks of 144 units in South Carolina.
Gotcha. Now that's fantastic. So yeah, either you're a really fast learner, because I'm like, I don't know, 60, 70, 80 houses somewhere in on the residential side. It wasn't until about number 45 or 50 did I figure out that I'm like, hey, this is not scalable. So good for you for getting that that experience under your belt fast and said, hey, you know, this is not the way to grow fast. So when it came, so you met your partners, you guys took down the first deal. How did you select your target market? Like, how did you say this is where we want to invest? I mean, there's, you know, you could invest anywhere in the country. How did you pick where you picked in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, so being brand new to the space, I relied heavily on my co-GP, and he was a very successful syndicator. You know, so he actually gave me the opportunity of a lifetime, really, to join him on that journey of that Pennsylvania property. He had picked it out. So, you know, moving forward and seeing the back end of that whole deal and just learning a ton of how things work with syndications and that model, you know, and then doing my education with Jake and Gino and, you know, continuing to network, there's a formula that if you follow, you can be very successful in this space. And it's really about, you know, the market demographics and the submarket, to be honest. And you know, it's population growth, it's job growth, it's year over year growth. It's what does the last 5 years tell you? What are the forecasts telling you? What's the, you know, how many new units are coming into the market? You know, is there a deficit? Is there an excess? What's the absorption rate? I mean, there's so many different variables that once you learn them and you can wrap your head around the data and then how to effectively use that data to drill it down into your subject properties and to see if they make sense or not. And that was really the beauty of commercial real estate to me was, you know, if it doesn't pencil out on your spreadsheet, you could just, you know, close out that spreadsheet, open up a new one and go underwrite the next property.
Right, right. And that data is one of those things that I think you have to have somebody else kind of hold your hand through. And I'm curious if you think you'd agree with that, because many of us can pull, you know, loads of data off of Census Bureau sites and everywhere else, and it doesn't paint a picture unless we know how to interpret it.
You know what? And that's precisely why joining a mentorship or a coaching program is, you know, it's an investment in yourself. And, you know, people have said that before. And, you know, listen, it's a big cost. It was a big cost to me and my family, right? But when you can collapse those timeframes and learn from other experienced people on how to use that data, how to effectively use that data, where to plug it into, what sort of, you know, software are you underwriting with? Are you opening up a spreadsheet and think you're going to build it out by yourself? Yeah, you could. It might take you 10 years to perfect it. Right. Or maybe you could, you know, what my community loves to say is rip off and duplicate off the people that kind of came before you. So that's the beauty of it. And, you know, to answer your question directly is, you know, it's the education piece from the mentorship program that really kind of catapulted me forward.
Right. No, that's awesome. And let's talk a little bit about your first deal and you coming on as the co-GP. Other than being a very likable guy, like, what did you bring to the table for an experienced operator to be like, oh yeah, sure, I want to work with Tim?
He had said to me a couple of times that I reminded him of himself, you know, 10 years ago, that I just had that kind of personality, I guess, and that drive. And he kind of said, like, he's like, for every, you know, 100 people I meet in this space, like, there's one person like you. So I, you know, and I appreciated that, you know, I mean, I'm just being myself, but you know, I had always heard from a lot of podcasts, you know, how can I add value? Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what that meant in the beginning. I was like, why does everybody always say that? Like, what exactly does that mean? You know, but once you wrap your head around that, I would say, listen, what can I take off your plate? What is, you know, you must be spinning a lot of plates up top. Let me take one of those down and work on it for you, you know? And I think because of that, it was an easy thing for him to be like, well, this kid has got it going on and he's a pleasure to work with and makes it real easy. So yeah, why not? You know, and I think, listen, like when people are successful in this space, I think at a certain point, they want to give back. They want to have an impact on a younger investor or a newer investor and say, hey, you know, somebody helped me and I'm going to help you now. It's my turn, you know, and that's my goal. My goal is to be able to, you know, at some point, you know, turn around and say, you know, the rising tide lifts all boats, as they say, right? And I want to be able to have that impact as well one day. So I can't put my finger on exactly what it was about myself, but, you know, I work harder than probably 99.9% of the people. I'm going to get things done. I'm going to come through when I say I'm going to come through. And, you know, I think people can appreciate that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think people can pick up on that out of the gate. If you're willing to put the effort in, you know, they're probably willing to teach you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's fantastic. Let's talk about your second deal. So you got that one under your belt, and that, I'm assuming that deal's going as planned. You're working through the business plan.
Yes.
Like any major hiccups or things along the way that you said, oh man, I wish we had foreseen that, or that you would do differently?
The only major like hiccup for me personally was, you know, the ability to raise capital was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be, right? Because I like real estate and because I like multifamily and I see the power of it, I think everybody does. And that's just not how, that's not how it is, right?
Right.
So even like my family, my friends, people who are successful and may have real estate in their portfolios, like, you know, they don't maybe know about syndication, but they don't know how it works. And, you know, my mentor always talks about the three things that you need for people to invest with you. And that's, you know, they need to know you, like you, and trust you. So, you know, for the longest time, I've been Tim, the New York City firefighter and ER nurse. And now I'm, you know, all of a sudden, Tim, the real estate syndicator. So it was, you know, becoming that person from that position of authority and really kind of helping my friends and family and the investors that I have now, like helping them on that journey of how does this work? What is it? You know, how do you benefit from it? What are your goals in real estate? You know, is it cash flow? Is it appreciation? Is it capital preservation? Are you a long-term? And, you know, all these things kind of come into the play where, you know, the people who I thought had a ton of money and would be no problem investing were the people who had no interest.
Right.
The people who are grinding it out in their small business or, you know, other firefighters like me, those are the people who were like, yeah, like, this is what I've been looking for. Like, you know, so it was really kind of interesting to wrap my head around the capital raising piece. As far as where I'm the next property, you know, like I talked about before, like having that data and niching down to where, what's your target market? Being from, you know, the New York City area, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to purchase multifamily real estate in a compressed cap rate environment like the Northeast. where people are by and large kind of leaving to go to, you know, the South and, you know, Texas and higher growth areas that have actually more landlord friendly laws and regulations, and there's population growth and job growth. Like, so once I, you know, kind of figured out the areas I wanted to invest in, came across an opportunity with another operator in the space in South Carolina. And, you know, listen, you know, when you can find somebody that you can work well with, I mean, it means everything. And they always say multifamily is a team sport, right? It's just too big sometimes to do all by yourself, especially with a group like mine, who's newer to the space. So that's where we were, man. We found a tremendous property with, you know, some good upside, and it's in a great location, and that's what we're doing. So, yeah, so 13 days from today, we'll be closing on that.
Congratulations. That's awesome. So again, on the second deal, somebody else again sourced that deal and kind of brought it to your attention. Is that right?
Yeah, this was somebody that we had been networking with for a little while, and you know, it was a bigger deal than they could do by themselves. So,
got it.
Yeah, Go ahead.
Did they approach you, or did you approach them about partnering on the deal?
No, they came to us. Yeah, I mean, we had a mutual friend. That's how we first started networking, and then you know, when it came up, it was almost like a natural fit.
Gotcha. That's awesome. And so again, you're a co-sponsor on that deal. Was your second capital raise easier or harder than your first?
Way easier.
Okay.
Way easier. You know, listen, there's a lot to learn in, you know, there's just a lot to learn, and there's a lot to put into practice and to do it well. So, you know, I've now surrounded myself with a great team of people, so that learning how to capital raise, there's an art and there's a science. And You know, now I have a group of, you know, investors. They're in a CRM. We put out value to them by giving them easy to digest blog posts on a weekly basis, engaging with them more regularly. So when you do come to them with a deal, it's not like they haven't heard from you in several weeks or months, and now you're just hitting them with a deal, right? So it's really leading your investors on that journey and giving them that value that I think people, quite honestly, they crave. So it was easier, certainly, the second time.
Right. That's awesome. Tim, let's jump into the final four here. If you were to distill everything you've learned in the last 2 years that pertains to real estate down to one piece of advice, and you're giving it to an aspiring investor, what would that one piece of advice be?
Action. Taking the action, right? There's only so many books you can read, only so many podcasts you can consume before you get stuck and say, I don't know if I can do it. Once you know, and my mentor, Gino Barbaro from Jake and Gino, has always preached, you know, once you know 70% of something, you could just go ahead and take action and you're going to figure it out. So yes, you need to get your education in, but at a certain point, you got to just start doing it.
Gotcha. What's one thing you're currently doing to stay on top of your game?
Content consumption. I wish there was more hours in the day to do everything I wanted to do, you know, but yes, tons of Audible books, tons of podcasts, reading like I've never read in my life. Yeah.
Right. No, that's awesome. And when it comes to making the world a better place, what's one way you're giving back?
Doing the right thing. I love to have the impact, right? Being a firefighter and a nurse and having that impact on people's lives daily. But that's my job, right? Like, so like that's it gives a certain amount of, you know, fulfillment and everything. Now having kids and coaching teams and teaching them to be the good people that they are, that's just an insane amount of fulfillment.
Right. That's awesome. And Tim, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, you can reach out on our website. It's citysidecap.com. My email is tim@citysidecap.com. I'm also on Facebook and LinkedIn.
Awesome. Tim, thanks so much for the time today. Certainly appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.